So I'm going to continue tonight along the lines of Sunday's message. You know, we've been talking about prophets and prophecy, and we have quite some things to say and quite some things to do tonight together in the Lord, and I'm sure that I'll have to continue on at least Sunday and who knows past that. But I'm not going to get in a hurry because I feel like these are things we need to know. These are some things that we need to deepen ourselves in. You know, being reminded that really prophecy, it's God's words being spoken for God's purposes. That's just a very general definition of what prophecy would be. And prophecy is important because it helps to build the church. It's a vital gift that God gave in the church. And so Sunday, I was talking about the different diversities or different expressions, or we could say the four different realms of prophecy, one being the prophecy of the Scriptures, which has the highest authority. It is the only realm of prophecy that is 100% always accurate. I mean, you can take it to the bank. You can count on it. Then we looked at the second realm of prophecy, which is the office of the prophet. And so the office of the prophet, of course, is one of the fivefold gifts that the Lord gave to the church to help build the church, to help train up the church, equip the church for the work of the ministry. And so you need to understand the prophet's ministry. You need to understand what the prophet brings to the table. Prophets, of course, will their first and primary job, what defines them as first a prophet in the ministry is, of course, that they would have a teaching and a preaching gift, something that would edify the body of Christ, particularly crowds of people. And so prophets always operate in prophecy. You'll see that that's a vital part of who they are. They really are just a greater extension of prophecy. So they always operate in prophecy, usually with some of the revelation gifts of the Spirit, either being words of knowledge, words of wisdom, or discerning of spirits. Hopefully we'll get to talk a little bit about that tonight. Then I briefly mentioned category 3 and 4 on Sunday. Hopefully I can get into a little bit more of that tonight, which is the third realm is what we call general prophecy or the spirit of prophecy. And then the fourth realm is what we call the gift of prophecy, which comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It's a manifestation of the Spirit of God. So Sunday when I left off, we were talking about some things of prophets. You know, prophets stand in the office, but again, like any other office, they are a man that is empowered by the Spirit of God. So everything that a prophet does is not always exactly perfect. Every prophet should be aiming to be as accurate as possible. But you know, we're dealing with men here. We're dealing with vessels that God is using to work things through His Spirit. And so on Sunday, when we left off, I was talking about that we have to beware of some things in these days, some wrong thinking, wrong concepts, wrong doctrines about New Testament prophets. Because we looked at it Sunday. If you weren't here Sunday or have not heard the message yet, I'm going to encourage you to go back. You will need to get a good understanding. We looked at a lot of detail of what makes an Old Testament prophet different from a New Testament prophet. And there are many differences and many distinctions, which it seems at times that the body of Christ maybe has not done the greatest job of being able to bridge that gap and understanding those differences. And it seems as even if some prophets have fallen into that category. You know, we can see so many prophets and so much of the ministry of prophets in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, we don't see that quite as much. Not because they're not real, not because they're not valid, not because they're not vital, but it's just a little bit different. In the Old Testament, prophets were the only spokesperson that God had. That was the only ones that God could speak to and deliver a message through the people, but now they're just one of the five offices. So tonight I want to pick back up on some of these things that we should be aware of in what some people would call, or what we would call, the prophet's ministry. And so we talked about some things, you know, that we've seen done in error. And so I want to pick up on a couple here. Number one being that prophets, this is an error to say or to think that prophets guide or lead people or churches or cities or nations. Okay, prophets do not lead people. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit has been given to every believer, and it is now the responsibility and the role of the Holy Spirit to guide every believer. So we have to understand that prophets are not called to lead people or to lead churches. Why do I say this? Because this has caused many times much abuse in the body of Christ. Prophets, it can also cross over to pastors. It could cross over to teachers. But this weird thing of thinking, I have the right to guide you or lead you or tell you what to do, and you're going to do what I say, and it can get into a very weird, it can get into a lot of control. It can get into a lot of manipulation. And so we have to be very careful of that. In the Old Testament, prophets did lead God's people because they were the only ones that God could speak to. So in the Old Testament, you see that God would tell his people, believe the prophets. I mean, that's actually a scripture in 2 Chronicles 20:20. The Lord would tell them, believe the prophets or you won't prosper. And the reason he would say that was because they were the only ones that had the words of the Lord. And the Lord did not wanting his people disregarding his words. But today, now in the New Testament, we're not ever told that if we don't listen to the prophets or follow the prophets that we won't prosper. Faith is how we prosper. God is how we prosper. So never ever would you ever blindly follow any prophet, even if they are a valid prophet and stand in the office of the prophet. There's no command for us to follow or believe everything that's said. In the Old Testament, prophets were speaking the word of the Lord, which became scripture. There is no prophet today that is speaking the word of the Lord that becomes scripture. They may be speaking by inspiration of and hopefully are speaking by the inspiration of the Spirit, but they are not speaking the word of the Lord. And so we have to be very comfortable about that, aware of that, not to make sure that we're getting in any situation. You know, sometimes control and manipulation can be very subtle at times. And so this is where we have to know that we have to know the Word of God. We have to know the Spirit of God. And if things feel funny, if things don't fit right, then, you know, you have to be very careful about what you're submitting yourself under. Also, we can say this, another fallacy that we hear today are that prophets are to know and to predict world events and things to come. No, prophets are given to the church. They're given to the church to build the church. It is true that occasionally a prophet, just like any believer, may at times know something by the Spirit of the Lord that might have pertained to something that's like something in a world event, but it's not the goal of God to tell all the prophets everything that's coming in the world events. That's not the job of the prophet. And many times you're going to see, I'm going to prove to you tonight, that a lot of times when prophets get all off in that, it's really not God most of the time speaking. And so we have to know these things so that we can distinguish these things and not get duped, not get confused, not get swayed by things that are going on. You know, I have a couple of instances in my life where and I'm just going to tell you these just so you know, because they're very rare. But way back when, you know, when America had the financial shakeup that happened, I guess it was about somewhere beginning in 2008, but then it went on for several years. I knew that was coming by the Spirit of the Lord. I was just praying with the Lord one day, and the Lord just said to me, he said, there's coming a financial shakeup in America. He said that to me in 2007. But you know what? I didn't run off to all the churches and stand up in front of the churches. I didn't even sit to my church and start telling the church about. I just knew it. That's all he said. He didn't tell me how it was going to happen. He didn't tell me what the ramifications. And to be honest, at the moment when I heard it, I was like, is that really the Lord? Because it's not usual that we hear those kind of things. And also because America had not really ever had a financial shakeup like that. And so I was very cautious and very careful with the Lord. I went for months before I even mentioned it to my husband. But I said, I heard the Lord say this, and I've been asking, it just kind of resonates in me. But the only thing the Lord would let me tell people was I would find when I would get up sometimes in front of crowds of people, I would remind them to not get over in fear financially and to trust the Lord. But that was all that ever came of that. So the prophets are not supposed to be out predicting, You know, we talked about that Sunday. Most New Testament prophecy is not predictive. It's not foretelling. It's forthtelling, which is just speaking the words of the Lord. Back in, I guess it was 2016, before this last presidential election, right? The previous presidential election, I knew who was going to win the presidency. And I knew before the primaries. I knew before, at this time, most of the Spirit-filled camp was in another candidate's corner. But I just knew. But it wasn't like for me to go on Facebook and tell everybody and try to rally the crowd. And I didn't tell anybody. I didn't even tell my husband until like a couple of days after I had already voted for the one that I knew that was going to win that nobody else was voting for yet. See, these things are not what prophets are really called to do. And so it just so happened this year in the election, I had a lot of people that contacted me. Friends of mine, people that knew I was prophets, and they'd say, well, what's the Lord saying to you about the election? See, they had a fallacy of thinking that that New Testament prophets are supposed to know everything that's supposed to come, or they're supposed to predict. You know what I'd tell them? I'd say nothing. Because you know what the Lord told me this year about the election? Nothing. Was I upset that he told me nothing? No. Was I on my face begging and pleading so that I could know? No. Because why? That's not what's important. That's not what's going to build the church. Amen? And so we have to keep that straight. And I was very honest about that. You know, many times the prophets don't know. There's many times the prophets don't know any more than you know. And that's okay. It doesn't mean they're not a prophet. But it'll help keep us straight if we understand the true ministry, the true office of the prophet, and what the prophet really is called to do. You know, in all my years of ministry and all my many, you know, everywhere, all kinds of countries, only one time have I ever done anything in the form of prophesying or even really praying that was somewhat political. And the reason I did it was because I got up to preach. I was at a service, and I got up to preach. And as I got up to preach, I mean, the Spirit of the Lord came on me. I mean, came on me like, you know, there are measures at times of things with the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord was so heavy on me, and I stood up, and all I wanted to do was cry. And so I just decided, well, I'm going to go with the Spirit tonight, and I'm not going to try to resist it. I'm just going to go with the Spirit. And I just began to weep, and I just began to come under the influence of the Spirit, and then I began to pray. And I was just praying. I was praying out all kinds of things. I was in a whole other country. I didn't know anything about their political system. I didn't know anything about whether they were having an election. I didn't know, and I didn't care anything about any of that. But as I prophesied spiritual things that were going to happen as a result of a change of those in power. That's what ended up coming out. And you know what? The very next year that happened. I mean, they were so excited. They called me up. This is exactly what you... I had no idea even when I was prophesying it, how it was going to come and how it was going to be. But that's the way, that's the freer flow of prophecy, is when someone is not focused on it, when someone is not thinking about it and talking about it and seeking the Lord, you can get off into error in that. And so that's really, in all the years of ministry for me, that's the only time, and it just came really by the Spirit of the Lord. I don't know why the Lord wanted those people to know that. I don't really know, but they heard it, and they were very excited when it happened, and praise the Lord that it did. But that's not the purpose of the New Testament prophet. And so tonight I want to go into a little bit about talking about, you know, we understand that prophets are not perfect, just like a teacher is not perfect, just like a pastor is not perfect. Anybody at any time can misspeak, cannot get something exactly perfect, but that doesn't mean that they're a false teacher, doesn't mean that they're a false prophet. And so I just want to talk about that term a little bit tonight and help shed some light on that, so that if you do get into something or see something or hear something that you recognize was not by the Spirit of the Lord, or that someone missed it, you're not going to go around calling them a false prophet. That's a very serious allegation. It's a very serious charge. I mean, you're now judging the heart of God's servant. And so that we see from the scripture that there are some things. In the Old Testament, there was the 100% accuracy requirement. I mean, it was 100%. If it was said and it was the Lord, it was going to happen. But Sunday, I showed how that is not what happens in the New Testament. So we can't use that as a barometer of whether someone is a true prophet or not, and certainly not even if it's true prophecy or not. There are other things that we have to consider and other things that we have to look at. But one thing that's important is that you have to know as the prophet does what they do by faith. And so we don't want to be damaging someone's faith. We don't want to make someone so insecure and so worried that they might accidentally say something or miss something that everybody's going to label them a false prophet. We don't want to do that. So I'm going to show you from the scriptures how it seems that New Testament, in the New Testament, what would be considered someone that would be labeled as a false prophet or a false teacher. It would be someone certainly that not just is missing it or maybe didn't get the prophecy right at times, or even maybe necessarily not a lot. It seems here that false prophets would be something of a deeper level, and we could say a higher degree of inaccuracy. We could say that really, if we look at how it's classified biblically, that false prophets today would be deceivers, they would be wolves, they would be very, very dangerous to the people, leading them astray with heresies, with things that are so unbiblically sound and not correct. They most of the time would be unteachable, uncorrectable. We see false prophets. We know that Muhammad is a false prophet. He's called a prophet. He's not a prophet. We know that Joseph Smith, who wrote the Book of Mormon, let anybody be accursed who is adding to the scriptures. He's a false prophet. So let's look. I want you to look tonight at a couple of scriptures that will help you in this category so that we can be scriptural and not be wondering, are they a false prophet? You know, just because they messed up some things. So in Matthew 24:24, first of all, Jesus just said this. He said, "For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." So I did say this to say to you that there are false prophets. And this is why we do have to understand the true office of the prophet, so that we don't get deceived. We don't step off into error, because it says here that even the elect can be deceived. So look at this in Acts chapter 13, verse 6. Here's a good example. Of course, Acts, we know, is in the New Testament. It says, "Now, when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus." Okay, so now this, in this category, the false prophet, probably not even a believer at all, but somebody that's practicing witchcraft. They were known as a sorcerer. That would qualify. If someone is operating on the dark side and vocal about it, and it's well known, we would say that they're certainly not a prophet of the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies," listen to this, "even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." So here we see that people that are falling into what Peter is telling us would be a false prophet would be that they're bringing destructive heresies, denying the Lord who bought them. You know, you'll find when people start denying that Jesus is the only way, they are now, that is very possibly borderline. If they continue to go down that path, they will get in a very bad place and have to be labeled as a false prophet or a false teacher. "Many will follow their destructive ways, for the way of truth will be blasphemed." So we're not talking about someone who stands up and occasionally, you know, maybe starts off in the spirit and then slips off into their soul and says some things that aren't quite by the spirit of the Lord. We're talking about people who are very harmful to the body of Christ, really much denying the truth of the New Testament. So this helps us. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 1. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." So when people start denying Jesus, when they start denying his resurrection, those kind of things now begin to put people in a category where, well, we may have to actually label them as a false prophet and make sure that we're not following them or anywhere around them. But this is, it's a much deeper level of inaccuracy, a greater extent, rather than someone who just maybe not be very accurate. We don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. There's been a lot of abuse in prophetic ministry. There's been a lot of abuse by prophets, but there's been a lot of abuse by pastors too. We certainly can't throw out the pastor. Those that don't have a pastor, they're scattered and weary. And so we can't throw out the prophet, and we can't throw out all prophecy just because we see some bad prophecy. Instead, what we have to do is anchor ourselves to the truth, know the word, know the spirit, and be able to discern, so that when somebody misses it, we're like, oh, that just wasn't quite right. I'm just gonna move on. I don't have to call it out. I don't have to get upset with them. As a matter of fact, I'm always going to tell you, unless it's a really weird thing, to always honor the giver, even if it's not quite right. We honor people. And so we don't have to be the one going out and on Facebook or to all our friends and blasting someone because they said something that wasn't right or something that wasn't. I don't use the word false like that at all. I kind of keep that out of my vocabulary. I really can say I don't think personally one-on-one I've ever come across a false prophet that I really know. And I'm happy about that, because I want prophets to be right, and I want them to do it right, and I want them to help the body and build the body and do a good job. However, just because someone is not a false prophet doesn't mean that they're a prophet that we need to follow. They may be a prophet, but they might be a prophet that you might not need to follow. You might not need to follow them because God's not called you or connect you or hooked you to them at all. Talked about that a little bit on Friday or on Sunday. Just because you might like it or think it's good doesn't mean that you can really take it or receive it. But also, we do have to be careful, because if you find yourself hanging out or following or listening to someone that is inaccurate or has very bad doctrine, oh, every time they prophesy, it feels like it's an Old Testament prophecy, and you walk out and you're scratching your head and it's kind of like, that was such a dark saying, I'm not sure what it meant. If it brings confusion, if it doesn't bring light, then what you might need to know is it's probably not best to follow people like that. You know, we need to be hungry for the Lord. We need to be hungry for the things of the Spirit, but we don't need to be so hungry that we eat off every table and drink every drink. You get poisoned that way. You do. Your life will get messed up that way. And so sometimes you find with prophets, there's, you know, some of the abuse comes from people wanting to be, I call them wannabes. They want to be a prophet, but they're really not. And so usually when someone is trying to stand in a place or do something that they're not really called and anointed to do, they will go above and beyond to try to prove that they, and you know, they'll prophesy when it's really not prophecy. And so you have to be careful. You do have to concern. You have to look around. You have to know what's going on. Sometimes prophets are untrained. Sometimes prophets are immature. Sometimes prophets have impure, selfish motives. And the list could go on and on and on and on. But I will say this, that anytime you see or you're around something that sits very wrong with you, feels very wrong to you, you sense any kind of control or manipulation, run. Don't try to analyze it. Don't try to figure it out. Don't feel guilty for not believing the prophet. Remember, there's no command that says you have to believe the prophet. The way that we believe the prophet is by our inner witness, that it bears witness with our inner man. that when they said that, oh, yeah, that feels right to me. That feels good to me. And listen, if it doesn't, it's okay. I don't know about y'all, but this is one thing that happened for me in the Spirit-filled life. You know, when I got in, I'm loving everybody, believing the best of everybody, wanting the best for everybody. And so when I there was a particular prophetic camp that a lot of my friends were connected with, and so I would get emails, and I would get, and every time I would read it, I wanted so bad to believe it. I wanted it to be right, and I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. You know, I don't want to be critical. No, we don't want to be critical, but we don't want to be gullible either. And I would struggle with, this doesn't feel right to me. This doesn't feel like this is New Testament prophecy. But it was like a pretty famous ministry. And so many people following. And so I didn't want to be the one that wasn't going to follow, wasn't going to connect. But it just didn't sit right with me. And so, you know, the prophet would go in and take it to the teacher. And I would say, I can't connect with this. And he'd read, in the beginning he was much nicer. He would read several paragraphs of it before he would look at me and say, this is, let it go. Don't read it. Don't, it's not, you know. But then he got to where it would just be like three or four sentences. Until one day he just said to me, stop looking at that. And so I totally unsubscribed. And what it did was it freed me up. It helped me realize it wasn't that I was critical. It's that it wasn't real, true, New Testament, biblically based prophecy. Most of it was not. More of it was along the category of not than is. And so I just disconnected myself. I didn't go around tell everybody. I didn't talk bad about them. But I just disconnected myself. So that I didn't have to be in this constant struggle of trying to figure out now, you know, what is this and why is this? Why is this not connecting with my heart? So if you're around somebody that you see a lot of, you know, I've been in places where people will use prophecy to manipulate people to cause them to do something they want them to do. I've seen people use prophecy to manipulate people or control people in the money arena. And I've actually walked out of services before and gone and stood in the lobby till the nonsense stopped. So you have to be okay with that. This is how you're going to guard your heart. This is how you're going to keep yourself safe. All right? It's important that God wants us to understand what's going on and be able to discern things properly. And so I'm probably not going to get to it tonight, but probably on Sunday, I'm going to give you some great tools that will help you in learning to discern New Testament prophecy. But we do want to make sure that, you know, prophets should be accurate. They should want to be accurate. They should try to stick to New Testament principles, not get off into wrong things. You know, I watched the election stuff this year, and it was very grieving to me. It was very grieving to me, first of all, that I saw so many people off on a very bad, wrong, dangerous trail that caused very much confusion in the body of Christ, and very much division in the body of Christ. And the whole time all this is going on, the world is sitting about watching because everybody's blasting everything on Facebook. And you know, there were just a lot of things that were said, a lot of things that were not God, a lot of things that were over off into errors, arenas and flows that were really not in any way where any New Testament preacher should be. Well, what kind of things am I talking about? I'm going to call some things out tonight. Now, I'm not going to give names, but I'm going to call things out because, you know, Jude understood the importance of calling some things out and warning people about wrong prophecies, wrong doctrines, things that could mess people up. And the problem with it is that there's been so much of it on Facebook, and I've seen one minister acknowledge that he was wrong. I've seen one prophet acknowledge. Listen, if you're a prophet and you miss it, and you know you miss it, and especially if you broadcast it to all kinds of, just stand up and say you missed it. It doesn't mean you're a false prophet. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that people can't follow you anymore. But we do owe it to the body of Christ to recognize when we've missed it and acknowledge when we've missed it. You know, like what kind of things am I talking about I'm talking about all the big predictions that came, that people just kept predicting, you know, the things like the red wave is coming on November the 3rd. Now, all these are statements that are directly given by prophets or somebody that was prophesying in the name of the Lord, that the red wave was coming on November 3rd, 110% that Trump will be the president for the next 4 years. The church is going to be rejoicing on November the 4th. Donald Trump will remain the president for the next 4 years, and a lot of people are going to jail. The left is going to go wild, and it's going to get real scary. Biden and Harris will not be in the White House. They are corrupt and wicked and vile. And by the way, when I'm saying these things, I'm not agreeing. I'm not agreeing with any political stance. You have to know that. So I'm not agreeing with, and this is not my political views at all. I'm just telling you prophecies that were said in the name of the Lord that did not come to pass. They are corrupt and wicked and vile. Trump's going to remain, and because of it, the left is going to go crazy. Here's a guy that said he had a prophetic vision, and in it a voice boomed saying, "Trump wins." And the light was the Spirit of God being poured out on all of our country. And the Spirit is, have y'all experienced that? I saw on Sid Roth, not Sid himself, so I can say it, but on Sid Roth, one of his guests was on there and was touting that Trump is going to win and it's coming. And when it does, the spirit of Jezebel that has been hovering over America and controlling America is instantly going to be the spirit of Jezebel. I mean, I was sitting there going, hogwash, 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 hogwash. But people are like, listen, don't be duped by the sensational and the spectacular and the grandiose. Need I continue in my packet of prophetic nonsense? How about this one? I'll just go ahead and say it. I'm gonna not say the name, but I'll say that there are some things in here that sound really wonderful if they were to happen, but so much of this next prophecy is wrong doctrine, bad doctrine. And this, they even put a time on it. And this thing was passed around Facebook. People personal messaged me this to the point where I finally started telling people, I don't listen to him. I don't listen to him because more of his prophecies are not true than true. So here was the prophecy that God spoke to him prophetically. The Lord says that I'm doing something new, that it's in my mercy. I have been giving men, evil men, time to repent. Okay, well, that's New Testament. That would be good. But just now, as evil has declared war on me and on the church, so now I declare war on you, says the Lord. You are in the third day, and it is the resurrection of the glory and power. My servants, who are the prophets. So here we see the elevation of the prophetic ministry. It's everything about the prophets. My prophets who have spoken my word to the nations have not prophesied in their own name and have not spoken fables. Now this was given in December after all of the junk that had been prophesied about November 3rd or 6th, and first it was the 3rd, and then they put it off to the 6th or the 7th, and then, you know, they kept backing it up, and this is going to happen, and that's it. So this is somewhere between after November, but before the December, there was something that was supposed to happen in December. He said, they have not spoken fables, and I will not let evil men and believers who are full of unbelief make me a liar. For I am still God, and my word still goes forth, and it's going to pierce the strongholds of darkness. Just as I came to the earth the first time as God in the flesh, I am coming to you in this nation across the earth in this Christmas season to give you a gift, says the Lord, this Christmas season that you will never forget. There's another part in here that goes on to say, within 2 to 3 weeks. How many of you got a Christmas gift in the political arena? that you will never forget. What you have been watching in media is the spirit of that woman, Jezebel, trying to replace the woman called the church and the earth. But the voice in the church in this hour are my prophets, and they will not be silenced. And the word of the Lord that I have released in this hour, though it looks impossible, it will come to pass. For all that I have declared will come by the power, not by the power of men or politics or law or even the Supreme Court, but it will come to pass by the power of the Holy Ghost. Just as Jezebel drove the prophets into the caves, so she did in 2020, drove my church into hiding. I didn't go into hiding. Did you go into hiding? If you were at Houston Faith Church, you did not go into hiding. But just as I was only in the cave for 3 days, so was my church coming out of hiding. For the voice of righteousness will not be silenced. The voice of righteousness is the voice in the church. Do I need to go on? Because it just continues. Listen to this. So now not only is God supposed to be judging these evil men, but listen to this. In the year 2021, the archangel Michael is sounding the ram's horn as to call to war against false religion and counterfeit churches in the earth. So no more is there any space to repent. Now listen to this. Every pastor in a church that has crawled into bed with the Spirit, saith God, I'm going to uncover and judge, says the Lord. That is not New Testament doctrine. And I'm just going to go ahead and stop there. It's just all kinds of other. What about this one down here at the bottom? And I'm taking the wealth of the wicked and transferring it to the saints. Yeah, that's a thousand-year reign. I can prove it in the New Testament. That happens in the thousand-year reign. Everybody that keeps telling you that the Lord is going to take the wealth of the wicked and put it into the hands of the righteous, it's a thousand-year reign event. Listen. I know I'm just 17, but I've been at this a while. I have been in so many meetings. I have been in so many years where the wealth of the wicked was being transferred to the righteous. And here we still stand. I don't need the wealth of the wicked anyway. I have the Lord. He is our source. He is our portion. Our prosperity comes in the Lord. I don't need any of that other stuff. Well, I'll go ahead and stop with that. Let's just stop with that. Can we stop with that? But what I want you to know is you do need to be safe. You need to know God's word. You need to know the Holy Spirit. You need to learn to properly discern. You need to learn to trust your inner witness. And this is where if I could help believers do anything, it would be to know the Holy Spirit well enough to learn to trust your inner witness. Because just because someone has a big ministry and thousands or millions of people following them doesn't mean they're always right. It's true. We don't like it. I wish that fivefold ministers were absolute perfect vessels, but we're human. That doesn't give us a reason to say it's okay to err. I mean, nobody if they have a heart that's really right with the Lord wants to err. I don't like to err. I tell Pastor Chaz all the time, I will err on not saying something that I feel like I'm supposed to say. Then say something that it's questionable or I'm not quite sure, because I don't want to mess people up. That's huge to me, the responsibility that's carried when one prophesies and says, thus says God. We've got to learn to discern so that we can know what's going on. And listen, if it doesn't seem right, if you don't understand it, if it doesn't fit, just move on. Just discard it. Just go ahead and move forward. You don't have to try to figure out why. You don't have to ask a bunch of other people. But you do have to make sure that you don't stay in the rut of staying in that stuff. Because if you keep listening to wrong stuff a lot, it'll mess you up. It'll cause you to doubt yourself. It'll cause you to doubt real, true Bible prophecy and true, valid ministry of the prophets. So let's talk a little bit about prophecy. I'm going to pull us back around and talk back more about those other realms so that we can get off of that. Praise the Lord. All my other packets here are good prophecies and things I'm going to be able to show you to demonstrate what those things are like. So I'm going to put the red tabs. I'm going to put the red tabs up. Okay, but just remember that really, in general terms, prophecy is telling in human word what God is bringing to our hearts. Prophecy reveals Christ. Prophecy reveals the divine heart of God to the church, to a person, to groups of people. It is the words that the Spirit of God uniquely is bringing to mind. And really, we could say that prophecy is heaven's thoughts expressed, or heaven's thoughts said to us. Prophecy brings vision. It brings focus. It brings an expectation that will help God's people from getting a lackadaisical or a little passionless. So it helps the church from being neglectful in the things that are of the Spirit of God. And remember, with prophecy, the intent of prophecy is always to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. So I want to give you the definitions of those words just so you know them. Edification means to construct. It means to firm up or build up. And so it really is referring to a house builder. So it means to confirm and strengthen. Exhortation is encouragement. It imparts strength. It imparts courage. I mean, after you hear something that is of the Lord, you should feel better. You should feel bigger. You should feel encouraged. You should feel stronger. You should say, oh, that gave me courage to step out and do something or say something or be something. Exhortation also means to motivate. It means to console. And then the word comfort means a help as to come alongside. So it's to relate near as to encourage someone who was weary or under pressure or in afflictions. To comfort means to undergird and to uplift. And so in speaking of those realms of prophecy, first being, of course, the Scriptures, second being the office of the prophet, we have the third one, which is general prophecy or the spirit of prophecy. Now, everybody turn with me in your Bible to Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. The spirit of prophecy or general prophecy is the level of prophecy which belongs to every believer. Every believer. Say, I'm a believer. So there is an aspect of prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14, 31 says, for you can all prophesy. So everybody can prophesy. Everybody in this room that's a believer can prophesy. That's what the scripture. Now, how do we do these things? We do these things by faith. We do these things when we hear these things, we believe these things. We don't argue with God. We don't argue with the word. Everybody can prophesy. And of course now, we all prophesy by faith, but some are going to prophesy with more grace or more ability. That tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 6 about that. But what it means to have general prophecy, it is the testimony of Jesus Christ. It is testifying of the Spirit of Christ. It is the rivers of living water that come forth. It's what's in your spirit in a moment that you know from the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God, in your spirit, what wants to just be said. And it doesn't have to be profound, and it doesn't have to be, certainly it's not predictive in any way, shape, or form. Revelation 19:10 says this, skip down just a little bit. First of all, it says, I'm your fellow servant, and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Everyone who is saved has the testimony of Jesus. Who is Jesus to you? What did Jesus do for you? And then it goes on to say, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so really all prophecy, even when we get over into the gift of prophecy, really it all starts and is based in the testimony of Jesus. But every believer can prophesy. I like to say that the spirit of prophecy is inspired from the spirit within. You have a spirit. We are a spirit. Our spirit is in connection with the Holy Spirit. And many times we say things and do things just from the spirit within. Jesus is Lord. God is good. We're saying that by our spirit. We're not saying that by our head. We're saying that by our spirit. Our spirit releases that. So it's just speaking from our spirit. Sometimes it's a forthrightness. It's morally centered in God. We could say this, that really all of the Bible in some sense is general prophecy. I mean, you can certainly read the book of Psalms and see that everything in there is general prophecy. It's speaking of God. It's speaking of Jesus. We could say that in preaching and teaching, most of it is in some form general prophecy. You're not going to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, but the things are coming. They're coming by our spirit. They're coming from our spirit on the notes that we're bringing forth to you of what God is saying in this hour. Don't put this scripture up, but Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's prophecy. Singing and making melody to your heart in the Lord. That's not prophets. That's everybody. We're all supposed to be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See that? We're all supposed to be able to speak. This is how we love each other. This is how we encourage each other. This is how we connect with each other. This is how we don't know each other by the flesh, but we know each other by the Spirit. When I'm seeing you, I might not say, thus saith the Lord, but I'm saying, hey, God loves you. That's prophecy. And so it's not wrong many times when you get in a meeting and you hear somebody say, prophesy, prophesy. They're not talking about the gift of prophecy, which I'm fixing to talk about. They're talking about just say something. Just say something of your spirit that's going to bless, that's going to comfort, that's going to edify, that's going to strengthen, that's going to encourage, build. Just let something out. You can all prophesy. You can all prophesy. We are a prophesying church. We have the Spirit of Jesus. And I want all of us to be comfortable in prophesying. Amen? Now the fourth, and that's the realm too, that certainly prophets always carry the prophet, the spirit of prophecy. So when you get around a prophet or a lot of prophets, a lot of people will start sensing things. It's easier for them to say something. It's easier for them to get something. It seems like there are certain atmospheres, it seems, even at time. Worship is a great atmosphere where the spirit of prophecy seems to want to be stirred up. Amen? The fourth realm here, let's talk about this real quickly, is the gift of prophecy. Now, this is one of the nine gifts or manifestations of the Spirit, listen, given for common good of the body, to profit, to bring together, to benefit, to be advantageous to the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit gives these gifts as He wills in a moment. No one owns the gift of prophecy. I can't make myself operate in the gift of prophecy. I wish I could. I can prophesy by general prophecy, but I can't make myself operate under the manifestation of the Spirit where the Spirit comes upon one, and in a moment, it is a divine utterance from God. So as general prophecy was inspired from the Spirit within, and even your own spirit within, prophecy, gift of prophecy, is where the Holy Spirit comes upon and divine utterance flows. And it can be at a moment, like it happens in a moment, like I don't remember when it was, I think it was sometime in January, I was walking on the stage one day at the end, and we were doing something with the altar, and the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit, the gift of prophecy came on me, and I said to the church that in the world's season of famine, the church will live in harvest. That was a gift of prophecy. That wasn't something that was in my spirit down here that was the Lord saying something. That just dropped on me in a moment. Now, sometimes when you operate in the gift of prophecy, it's you're standing up in a crowd. It's to release something to someone specific, to a specific crowd. I don't really know. I'm not going to say that people can't operate in the gift of prophecy just in no man's land, but I've always found that a little odd, how that works. Who are you connecting with? Who are you saying this to? What is that? But I will leave that between the Lord and people that do that a lot. But I can say that the gift of prophecy can come on you in your home, and you can write it down, and you can find out that later it's for someone or it's for a group of people. I have that happen to me all the time. So it's not that it can only be in the moment where you're going to release it right then, but it is a divine spirit coming upon you and then you yielding to that to release that word. And those nine gifts of the Spirit are, of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. And then in verse 10 is where it says, to another is given prophecy. But remember, this is one of the vocal gifts. It's one of the utterance gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's in that moment the Spirit comes upon and you say what the Spirit wants said. Faith is involved in doing it, absolutely. And even though it's coming from the Lord, it does come through. It does come through the vessel. But I will say this, that intellect is not what causes it to work or is how it happens. It is from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Does that help you? Praise the Lord. Well, y'all been listening slow tonight. Y'all been listening slow, but I really have in my heart, I have in my heart tonight from the Lord. So I want to say this. This is not me. This is the Lord. That I want to do a little practicing in the spirit of prophecy, where every believer prophesies. You know, because if I just tell you these things and show you these things and talk about these things, and later I'm going to give you some good examples of some of these. Then you're going to go home and say, "Wow, that was great." But I want you to know that you can prophesy. And I really expect you to prophesy. And I want you to be comfortable to prophesy. Amen. How many people we got here tonight? Okay, perfect. Could I have everybody that's a leader at the church, if you're part of the leader group, could you please stand up? Everybody that's a leader. Okay, so I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay, 20. Okay, perfect. Okay, I need all the leaders to get in various places, in the aisles up front. We're going to make group. Okay, so everybody that you see standing up, I want you to build. I want everybody else that's in the crowd, and please do listen carefully. We have a lot to do, and I'm going to try to make this very effective. But the effectancy depends on you listening to me. Okay, you have to listen to me. Okay. All right. I need everybody to get up and I want you to build groups of about five. So that includes your leader. Everybody get in groups of five. And when we get through, we're going to have nobody sitting in the chair. I'm not going to force you, but even if you end up not saying anything, I want you to be part of a group so that you can experience this. Okay. So I know that we've got COVID going on, so I don't mind you spreading out. Don't get right face to face with everybody. Do kind of spread out. But I need you to make a circle in your group. Everybody make a circle in your group. Okay, so listen to my instruction. This is what's going to happen. Okay, so for the first round of this, now listen, this is not the gift of prophecy. You're not like waiting on a divine moment where the Lord's going to drop something on you and you're going to have to say something. This is just bringing something up from your heart, just bringing something up from your spirit. So what we're going to do is we're going to have the leader in the group is going to start this round, and you're going to look to the person to your left, and to the person to your left, you're going to say this. You're going to say, "I speak," and then let one word come out, okay? I speak life. I speak love. I speak joy. Well, just because I said it doesn't mean you can't say it. But I want you to let something come from your heart that you feel like will be a blessing to the person. To one word, not a sentence, one word. And if somebody in your group says that word that you felt like, it's okay. Say it to your person. It's for them. So we're going to start with the leader. The leader is going to look at the person to their left and say, "I speak whatever." And then that person is going to look to their person to the left and say, "I speak whatever." Okay? But before we do it, we're just going to, everybody for just a moment, just for a couple of seconds, just speak in tongues. Just center yourself in the Lord just for a moment. And sense right now from down in your heart, from in your spirit, the word that you want to release so that you're not nervous and trying to think of something while you're receiving your one word.
Just connect with the Lord and be looking at that, glance over at that person to your left and see, just kind of from your heart now, what word do you sense to say to them? Okay, go ahead, leaders. Go ahead and start with the leader. Leader, give yours. And then when your group is finished, I want your leader to raise your hand so I'll know you're finished. Go ahead, leader. Start. I speak and release it. Okay, now what we're going to do, same thing, but the person that was the last one to be, so the person to the right of your leader, that's who's going to start this round. And what you're going to say this time, you're going to do it to the person to your right. You're going to say, the Lord, and then something. You're going to say, the Lord says, good days are ahead for you. The Lord says, he loves you. The Lord, whatever, just let it come. Okay? Can just be a sentence, but not a paragraph. Not a paragraph. Just so this is where you got to be very purposeful with your words from the Lord. Okay? So from your heart again, let's just pray in tongues for just a moment. Center yourself. Think of that person to the right. All right? Now go ahead. The person that's to the right of the leader, go ahead and start. Leader, put your hand up when your group is finished. Okay, all right. Now what we're going to do this time is we're going to start with the person that's standing opposite of the leader. So who would identify who that is, who's standing opposite of the leader. That's who's going to start this round. Okay, we're going to pray in tongues here for just a moment. What you're looking for is from your spirit, I want you to release something of some of a scripture. You don't have to give you don't need your phone. This is coming from your spirit, okay? You don't have to give exact word for word. It doesn't have to be chapter and verse. Just something of a scripture that you feel like is going to bless the person to your left. So to your left, we're going to your left this time. So let's pray here in tongues for just a moment. Everybody pray in tongues. I'm just helping you connect with your spirit. Remember what happens when you pray in tongues? You stir up. All right, at this moment, go ahead and that person get started. Go to your left and give them a scripture, something to bless them, encourage them. All right. Okay, here's the last one we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and start back with the leader. And I just want you to the person to your right. I just want you to say something from your spirit that will encourage them. Okay, just pray in tongues for a moment. Look to the Lord. Just one sentence. Something that will encourage them. Okay, we'll start with the leader going to the right. All right, so everybody look this way for a moment. First, I want to say thank you. I know that this can make people a little uncomfortable. I know for some people this was not a big deal, but I know it's... But the truth is we do have to stretch ourselves. And so for me, it's always important that sometimes I have you stretch yourself and just stepping out. And usually what you begin to see is that this is what it is and this is kind of wonderful. So how many of you, how many of you enjoyed it? I mean, as you're doing it, you're kind of like, hey, I enjoy, this is, look at that. Praise God. How many of you can say this, that tonight something somebody said to you, just the one word or I speak or what meant something to you? I mean, it felt like it encouraged you. Look at that. That's what it is, prophecy, to encourage, to build up, to comfort, to come alongside each other. And so this is who we are. This is what we do when we're speaking to each other and you know, we're connecting with each other. We don't have to be natural, hey, how's the weather kind of people. I mean, we all know what the weather's like. We live in Houston. It's hot and humid. Oh, not next week. Okay, sorry. But really, just sometimes, listen, I want you to know, don't ever underestimate the power of simple, general prophecy. I have had words before for people that were almost like where God came upon. It wasn't me just pulling something. It was God. Just God loves you and has broken down people to the core. I mean, has, like, in that moment, their entire life changed just because by the Spirit I said. So don't negate that. Don't think that's not, that's prophecy, and it counts. And it matters, and it helps people. It encourages people. It edifies people. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.